WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, we are local, and it all starts with WTNS News.
I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, 46 degrees currently in Coshocton. Good morning, everyone. It is time for the Communication Lines program. I am your host, Mike Bechtel, here with you until 11 o'clock this morning. We are probably going to have some open phone lines towards the end of our program today, and I should know by now not to make promises, but probably have some open phone lines. Emily Marison from the Extension Office will be joining us at about 9:30 this morning, and our topic today will be about diabetes and dealing with diabetes and maybe some health tips and some cooking tips as well. It is Wednesday, and as we've been doing for the past several weeks, we are featuring a student at one of our local schools, Coshocton, Ridgewood, Riverview, Newcomerstown, and the Coshocton County Career Center. And this week's student of the week is a senior at Riverview High School, Josie Richard. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning.
And you're a senior at Riverview. Can you tell us about some of the things that you're involved in at school?
Yes, I am actually president of National Honor Society, and we just had our NHS induction last night for the new members, so that was neat. I'm also in student council. I'm within different clubs like Spirit Club, Math Club, FCCLA, different things like that. I'm actually the class secretary this year for my senior class, and I am currently working on a senior project as well through Riverview.
Well, and so you are involved in a lot of things, and that's just in school. You're involved in a lot of other things outside of school. Those that pay attention to the news during the Coshocton County Fair have probably heard your name before.
Yes, I was the Coshocton County Fair this year, and I was super excited about that. So I'm very heavily involved in 4-H and Junior Fair Board, different things like that around the community.
What projects do you take to the fair each year?
I take market hogs every year, and then through 4-H, I also take different special interest or FBS projects. So I've taken multiple cooking projects, sewing projects, finance projects, and I've even taken a cake decorating project.
What is the role of the Junior Fair Board?
Basically, we're responsible for just helping put on the fair. So we meet once a month throughout the year until fair time. And we're responsible for kind of making some decisions. We always run the different animal shows. You'll see us passing out trophies or recording different information. And we also work the Junior Fair Board office for anyone who might have questions throughout the fair.
Josie, you're president of the National Honor Society there at school. Obviously, you take your study of academics seriously. What are some of the subjects or things that you like learning about the most? What do you feel that you excel in academically?
Yeah, my favorite subject in school is math, but I am planning
on... Nobody says that.
I know.
Nobody but you, okay.
Every time I say it, everyone's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. But I'm planning to become a nurse when I'm older, so I'll take lots of science classes. So science is probably my second favorite subject.
What do they... I would imagine you take college prep classes. You take... CCP that get college credit ahead of time, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay. Yes. So what level or types of math do they teach to seniors at Riverview or perhaps your college class as well? In other words, are you into calculus yet or how complicated does it get?
Yeah, so actually when I was in junior high at Riverview, you are allowed to kind of skip ahead to ninth grade algebra. So that's what I did as a seventh grader. And then as an eighth grader, I went ahead and took geometry at Riverview. And then as a ninth grader, I took Algebra 2 at Riverview through Zane State. So I received college credit there. And then my sophomore year at Riverview, I took Pre-Calc and Calc through Zane State, where I received college credit for both of those. And then last year, I came to Kent and I took statistics. So I'm pretty much through my math classes right now, but I received most of my math classes and credits through Riverview. So that was very neat that I could stay on campus and still kind of receive the higher level math and the college credit and things like that.
Well, congratulations on that. Now, in my observation, a lot of times the people that excel in math and enjoy math and sciences are also very analytical as well, and excel at logic and analysis. Do you put yourself in that category?
I think I do. Yes, I think I fit that description well.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, seniors at Riverview, and I've talked to some others before here in the studio. Some seniors anyway, do a senior project, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing one?
I am. Yes.
What is your senior project?
So this year I actually am continuing my sister's senior project that she started 3 years ago. We own our own cookie business called Pipe to Perfection. So it's a super small business where we just personalize buttercream sugar cookies and then we just sell them to the community. But so what she did was she kind of raised funds throughout the year and then presented a scholarship at the end of the year for a woman wanting to continue her education from Riverview. So I'm kind of doing the same thing. I think I'm going to increase the scholarship a little bit. So right now I'm just baking a lot of cookies and I'm using some of my profits to create a scholarship fund, and then at the end of the year, I'll choose one of my female classmates who would like to continue their education, whether that's a 2 or 4 year degree or even farther than that, but then I will receive that or give that scholarship to them after they fill out, of course, the scholarship application and everything like that. But so, yeah, I'm just kind of continuing what she did, and I think it's a great senior project. It incorporates what I'm passionate about, and I'm very excited to be able to kind of give that to a female in my class.
Do you have a criteria for the scholarship?
Yeah, so it's a female just because my great-grandmother actually was a kind of cake decorator on the side. So we kind of want to, and she passed down a lot of her cake decorating utensils and everything to us when we began this business. So we kind of want to honor her, and she was never actually able to finish high school as a young woman. She kind of had to start her life early, so we kind of want to honor her and maybe help a female who might need a little help continuing their education. That was always kind of her thing, was, you know, stay in school and get an education. So that's what we're trying to do. So you just have to be a female and want to continue your education, and then some questions on our scholarship just include, you know, what female has impacted you the most and different things like that.
So grandma was a bit of an inspiration for your sister starting the project 3 years ago then.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, and what was the other thing? Were you involved 3 years ago? You would have been a freshman in high school. Did she involve you at all back then?
Yeah, I always helped her decorate cookies. She actually went to college, obviously, between my freshman and sophomore year, so I kind of had to watch her and just help her with different cookies and things like that so that I could take on the business. So I really helped her decorate and everything. She taught me everything I know, so I give all my credit to her. And this idea was hers, and I thought that it was just an amazing idea, and then I wanted to kind of do it again. Of course, her senior year was during COVID, so she didn't get a lot of the recognition and didn't get to present it and things like that. So I think it's neat that I can kind of present that for her and show the work that she did and then the work that I'm going to do.
What kind of cookies do you make?
I do sugar cookies, and we do buttercream icing.
Okay, so sugar cookies, well, they're primarily little works of art. What types of decorating do you do?
I pretty much do it all. I've done character faces. We do a huge Christmas order every year. I do birthdays, baby showers. A lot of times we have an Instagram account, so people will just contact us through Instagram, and they'll send us different inspirations or pictures or ideas that they had that they got off the internet or Pinterest, anything like that, and then I'll try to recreate it using buttercream. It's definitely hard, but I have found something that I feel that I'm good at, and it's a hobby for me. So, yeah, I was very excited that I could kind of incorporate that into my senior project.
What's your best estimate is how many cookies that you and your sister have made over the last 3 years?
Oh, goodness. That's a hard question. I estimate about 10 dozen per week throughout the entire year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and then at Christmas time, we do hundreds of dozens, so I'm not even sure.
Okay. Do you want to share any information about your business or website or Facebook or phone number or anything if people want some cookies?
Yeah, of course. We have an Instagram account. It's rose_ptp that you can contact us at, or you can contact me or my sister or anything like that. You can contact me at 740-610-3328. And we ask for about a two-week time period between maybe when you want your cookies and just some inspiration, and we will try to recreate them the best we can.
Well, selling all those cookies, have you been able to raise a tidy sum of money for the scholarships?
Yes, I have. That's why I think that the business has obviously grown over the years, so I want to try to increase the scholarship amount because I feel I'm doing more cookies just because it's grown and kind of got its name known and things like that. So I definitely want to increase the scholarship amount that I'm going to give at the end of the year. So I've been able to raise a bunch of money so far. So I'm very excited. Throughout this Christmas season, I know it'll be crazy, and so I'm really hoping to raise money then, too.
Josie, what are some of your favorite things about Riverview High School or your teachers or your curriculum or anything about school? What do you like most about it?
I think Riverview is one of the best districts. I've gone there my whole life, and to be honest with you, I've always felt so supported. I think Riverview has a great community within it, and I've never felt left out. I've always felt supported by whoever I'm with, wherever I'm at, whatever school, elementary, junior high, high school. I think that we really have great hopes for the school, and I think that ultimately it's just one of the best.
Josie, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today that that we haven't talked about or I haven't asked?
I'm very honored that I was chosen to kind of represent Riverview this week. I think that this is a great thing that you guys are doing through WTNS to kind of honor different students and share their perspectives on school and maybe what they're involved in. So thank you.
Oh, and thank you for being with us today. We do appreciate it and an impressive resume that you have. Thank you, Josie. Also, your principal with us on the phone as well, Mr. Josh Branch, principal at Riverview High School. Good morning, Mr. Branch.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Anything you'd like to share with us about Josie before we talk about a couple other things?
Obviously, Josie's one of our better, higher-achieving academic students. She's currently sits at number one in our class of about 140 kids. She has a 4.38 GPA, and a lot of that equates to taking the amount of CCP classes that she's taken. She will have completed at Christmas 36 hours, and I'm sure I haven't actually talked to her about this, but I'm sure she's probably going to take three or four more in the spring. So she's probably looking at being somewhere around 50 hours would be my guess when she graduates high school towards her college degree. So obviously that's a great thing. And like she said, you know, she was able to get a lot of those early on here at Riverview while still being a student in the building.
CCP is getting college credit while still in high school. That might be a concept that is foreign or maybe a lot of folks aren't familiar with it. Certainly when I was a kid and people my age and even younger, that was not an option in high school. Can you tell us a little bit more about CCP and what portion of Riverview kids take part in it?
We have about probably 40 kids at some level between kids that are off campus like Josie, kids that are part-time that are at either Zane State or Kent State or OUZ and then come here for classes. And then we offer some classes here through Zane State in our math program. So kids can, like Josie said, kids can go through their entire high school career here and fulfill their math requirements while getting CCP credit for it.
Do the students physically go to those campuses, Kent State or Zane State, or is it online or both?
It's a little bit of both. There are some schools out there that offer online classes. Obviously, with the pandemic and some of the colleges, transitioning to that at that point, they were able to some of those classes were able to stick with the online version. And obviously, we have kids that travel. Far distances, such as Josie going to Kent State Tusk to take those classes, or Zane State. We have a variety of ways that we can offer CCP credit to our kids.
Mr. Branch, I have talked to several Riverview students over the past few years about their senior project. Can you tell us a little bit about that program at Riverview? Do all seniors do a project?
Anybody that is in CP English 12 is required to do a senior project. And then if you are not in CP English and you would like to, you have to, there's a process. You sit down with Mrs. Hemming, our senior project coordinator, and we get a community mentor or someone in the school. I actually have a couple kids that are doing a senior project for the school here. But then right now we're over 50 students participating in a senior project here at Riverview High School. So it's a great thing for our kids to not only, you know, help solve a problem or work with within our community. One of the things that our kids, our seniors are doing right now, and a couple of our junior leaders are, they are at Mobile Market down at the Canal Louisville Church, and they go once a month and give back to people when they come through their food bank and help, you know, pack groceries and help carry things and just giving back to our community.
So the students aren't just learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're learning about giving back to the community, interacting with the community, and just as importantly, how it feels to do so.
Absolutely. It's a great project that Mr. Rinka started, and I'm very happy that we can continue to offer those opportunities to our students.
Mr. Branch, anything else you'd like to share with us about Josie or anything going on at Riverview right now?
Well, I can personally vouch for her cookies. They're very, very good. We had my son's birthday a couple weeks ago, and we ordered cookies from her, and they are fantastic. She does we had a construction theme for my son, and she did all sorts of different road signs and things of that nature, and they're outstanding cookies. So I will put a plug in for her business. Obviously, that's going to give back to one of our senior young ladies as well.
Buy some of those cookies and help another Riverview student pursue higher education. Mr. Branch, Josie, thank you both for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks,
yeah,
Mike.
Thank you so much.
As Josh Branch, the principal of Riverview High School, and our student of the week, Josie Richard, a student at Riverview. We'll be back in just a moment.
Taxing Tim Ryan backed all of Joe Biden's reckless spending. $140 million for a resort in Florida. $2 million for ski slopes in Iowa. COVID checks to criminals. It's crushing Ohio families with inflation and higher prices on everything, from groceries to gas to housing. To pay for it all, Ryan and Biden agreed on $20 billion in higher taxes on low and middle-income Ohio families. Higher taxes even on families making less than $75,000 a year. Taxes that will make our lives even more expensive. Taxing Tim Ryan's not going to change. He's voted with Joe Biden
every single time.
Taxing Tim Ryan and Joe Biden. Wrong for Ohio.
Every single time.
Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Then my seed guy says my crop nutrition plan is on me.
Typical.
Didn't know if I should do fungicide, just said spray it all.
Typical.
I get it. He just wants to sell me seed.
Want more out of your seed purchase? Consider Cropland Seed. Cropland brings you high-end genetics and the latest traits, all backed by answer plot data and season-long agronomic expertise you can't get from a typical seed dealer. That's because you can only get Cropland from leading crop input retailers. Retailers that know how to maximize the performance of every variety or hybrid. This year, talk to your leading retailer about Cropland. When it comes to high-yielding seed, your ROI doesn't depend on one decision. It depends on every decision.
That's anything but typical.
Ask your crop input retailer about Cropland seed today.
At Dean's Jewelry, we believe jewelry tells a story.
Whether it's the epic novel of a family heirloom passed down through generations,
or a romantic tale of the six-month dateversary necklace he bought you last week,
every story deserves to be told. And when you're ready to add a chapter to yours, commemorate the moment with a beautiful piece of jewelry from Dean's.
You won't find any plot twists here, just upfront pricing and full disclosure on everything we do.
Continue your story at Dean's Jewelry, Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Shaq-a-roni is back at Papa John's Pizza. Get an extra large 16-inch pepperoni pizza loaded to the edge for just $13.99. And for every Shaq-a-roni pizza sold, $1 goes to our local fatherhood initiative. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
Call the flyhoopy.com sports service at 623-9867. Buy on the fly in the privacy of your own home in 15 minutes or less. Visit flyhoopty.com to get started today.
Come on, kids, get in a van. You don't want to be late for school.
Mom, where's my homework?
It's in your book bag. Now let's get going. Oh, no, the van won't start. Now what am I going to do?
When you need help, call Princess Wrecker Service at 622-3916. Anyone can call Dave and his guys to buy from the AAA battery program. Princess provides towing and lockout service, too.
Mostly cloudy today and mild with high temperatures in the mid-60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear, patchy fog after midnight, lows in the lower 40s. And for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-60s. Currently, it is 46 degrees in Coshocton, still a little bit cool. It's 9:30. Is it still foggy out there, Emily?
It is a
There's
little foggy.
Still fog out there. Okay. We're under a dense fog advisory until 10 o'clock this morning. So if you're out and about, give yourself a little extra time and be careful. Our guest is Emily Marison, and she is here from Ohio State Extension. I always write down your title ahead of time, and I forgot to do it.
It's so. Okay. Family and Consumer Sciences.
Family and Consumer Sciences. Okay. And what all does that mean in that
so
role?
So we say that's healthy people, healthy finances, and healthy relationships. So old days, we would have called that home economics. So anything that has to do with managing your family well, managing your finances either individually or as a family, could enter into the nutrition realm, parenting, all those kinds of topics.
Last time we spoke, our topic was food preservation and and canning and freezing. Today it's something a little different. Well, there is a nutritional aspect to it, and it is nutrition, particularly for those with diabetes.
That's right. This is National Diabetes Month or American Diabetes Month, depending on whether you're looking at the American Diabetes Association or it's a long title, but one of our government agencies is the National Institute of Health that focuses on diabetes and kidney diseases. Anyway, everybody is not necessarily celebrating, but making aware the need to think about diabetes because it affects millions of Americans. And chances are, if you do not have diabetes or prediabetes, you know someone who does in your life.
There's a lot of it that's undiagnosed, isn't it?
That's true. Actually, and that always kind of amazes me when I think about it. Like, how do they know that it's not diagnosed? But basically, it's because there's information about what our blood sugar levels are. And so sometimes people just haven't found out from their doctor exactly what that means. So that's part of that whole, if you've ever wondered that, if you've heard, like, you know, some people don't even know that they have it. How would they not know? Well, it's because they've just never really been told by their doctor. It's never been explained to them.
Well, and you don't just wake up one day and say, oh, geez, I got diabetes. It's kind of a slow onset for type 2 diabetes.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because people may hear type 1, type 2, and wonder what it means. And diabetes is really, it's, and some people may say diabetes. I hear it pronounced
Wilford
different
Brimley,
ways,
yeah.
Right? And I just have always said diabetes. But it's when our bodies are not utilizing our glucose well in our cells. So glucose is kind of, it's a sugar, the smallest sugar molecule that our body uses for energy. And, you know, lots of the foods that we eat have those glucose molecules all hooked together. And so our body breaks that down, whether it's in proteins or in other kinds of carbohydrates. And we can get too much of that in our bloodstream when we have diabetes. It means that our cells are not allowing that glucose to go into the cell well to be used for energy. Insulin is this hormone that comes along that our pancreas produces, and it may be that our body is not really producing enough of that or not at all, which would be type 1, or that we're just not utilizing it well, or our cells, it's almost like a, if you think about our cell having kind of like a locked door on it, and insulin comes along and it's like the key to open up the door to let the glucose go into the cell. So sometimes our cells just, that door is kind of stuck. And even though the insulin may be there, it's just not working as well. And so that's when we have this condition that doctors would call diabetes.
What is the difference between type 1 and type 2 then?
So type 1 is when we're just really not producing insulin. And oftentimes that has been called juvenile diabetes or early onset diabetes, because most often it is found pretty early in life. It can happen later, but most often it's early on. And then type 2 is usually, but not always, later in life, where the body is just not utilizing that insulin well. Or like I said, something is happening where the cells are just not wanting that glucose to be let in. And so what causes it, what results is this backup of glucose that is just hanging out in the bloodstream. And when we have too much blood, glucose in the bloodstream, that's when we can have other medical issues.
And oftentimes, at least it's presented, or there's a thought out there that type 2 diabetes, well, one of the factors is maybe our own bad habits leading up to it.
It can be. One factor that will often go along with type 2 diabetes is being overweight. So either overweight or obese, because that it's putting some extra stress and pressure on other systems and parts of our body. And so that can be one thing that kind of goes hand in hand. But it's not necessarily our own doing that creates it. This can definitely, genetics play a huge role in this. So if you know that a parent or grandparent, other family members have diabetes, then you are at higher risk to develop diabetes as well.
Do you know how much, or can you characterize how much of a factor genetics is? In other words, if your mom and grandma have diabetes, or is...
I am not sure about that. Okay. And I'll give my disclaimer first here that, you know, I am not a nurse. I am not a medical professional. I'm coming from this mostly from the nutrition route. And so I have learned a lot from registered dietitians over the mm-hmm. years here of doing our Dining with Diabetes program. We've worked closely with Coshocton Regional Medical Center and have had some of their nurses be a part of our program. We always have registered dietitians that are part of that. Cindy Hilbisch, who is with our county health department and is a health educator, has always been a huge part of that program and helping people. So I don't claim to be an expert when it comes to especially the medical side of this, but I do hope that some of the information that we share today from a nutrition and from a physical activity standpoint can be an encouragement, especially for those that have maybe been told they're pre-diabetic or they do have diabetes.
Okay. Well, and this was just our scene setter here. And while you're not in the medical field, you are a professional in communication and sharing information. And we will focus on nutrition when we return with Emily Marison. From Family and Consumer Sciences at the Extension office. We'll be back right after this.
Anticipation, excitement, surprise, joy. That's the G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers Effect. And with the holiday season upon us, it's something to think about. For you, it's the anticipation and excitement you'll experience knowing the reaction your gift is going to get Christmas morning. For those you love, the surprise and pure joy a gift from G.A. Fisher always produces. Now is the time to get started. Anticipation, excitement, surprise, and joy. They're all here at G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers in historic Roscoe Village. Wouldn't you rather say it came from G.A. Fisher?
You gotta buy a car, sell a car. No longer matters where you are. You go to flyhoopty.com. It's a quick, convenient, easy way to shop for cars with no delay at flyhoopty.com. Yes, it's a one-step, one-stop shopping mall. From your armchair, you can see them all at flyhoopty.com. You can click and buy most anything. Cars, trucks, and vans, and SUVs at flyhoopty.com.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. Now is the perfect time to list your country property with me. Hundreds of out-of-state hunters are coming to Coshocton, and my phone is ringing. You can reach me at 740-502-3074. Don't delay. Give me a call today. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
Park it on yes and vote for Coshocton City Park District Renewal Levy. This renewal is not a new tax and represents a renewal of the 10-year 0.5 mil levy. These funds help provide your local city and county parks with the ability to provide simple things like restroom supplies and mowing to permanent improvements like new roofs on shelters, planting trees, security cameras, lighting, and even swimming pool updates. This is Sherry Kirkpatrick with Friends of the Parks, and I'm asking you to join me and park it on yes on Tuesday, November 8th, to support our parks now and into the future.
Paid for by the Park District Levy Renewal Committee, Fred Wachtel, Treasurer.
Coming soon, Ohio has a new kind of crime fighter. What's that? A corrupt public official has stolen millions in taxpayer money? Have no fear. Keith Faber is here.
All right, cut it out. I told you I'd give this a try, but that sounded dumb. I'll pick the music. This is Keith Faber, and I'm no superhero. I'm your auditor of state. Yes, it's true that I've worked hard to convict more than 90 corrupt public officials. That's my job. My gadget of choice? A spreadsheet. And the Faber-mobile? A Dodge Ram truck.
This is Officer Weeks from the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio. Not all heroes wear capes. Police are proud to support Keith Faber, not because he's a superhero, but because he's a super auditor. Keith Faber helped uncover more than $5 billion in unemployment fraud and overpayments.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's...
Knock it off.
It's Fraternal Order of Police endorsed Keith Faber for Auditor of State.
Paid for by Friends of Faber.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Clean Right Carpet Cleaners. What's in your dirty carpet? Pet hair, dust mites, bacteria, mold. Stacy Young with Clean Right Carpet Cleaners has over 30 years of experience, and he can get your carpets as clean as they can possibly get. It's not the only way, but it's the right way. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Mostly cloudy today and mild with high temperatures in the mid-60s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the lower 40s. And tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny, warm, with highs in the mid-60s. So a fog tonight and tomorrow as well. And the fog sticking around still in places here in Coshocton County. 47 degrees and climbing here in Coshocton. We are back once again with Emily Marison, family and consumer science educator from the OSU Extension Office. And Emily, again, before we get into nutrition, how prevalent is diabetes in Coshocton versus Ohio versus the country and the world?
Interesting to compare that across all those different areas. If we look at the United States, there are 37.3 million people.
That's about close to 10%.
So it equates to 11.3% of the population. That's a lot of people if you think about that number. And then if we look at pre-diabetes, so we didn't talk about the numbers exactly, but pre-diabetes basically means if you continue on the track that you're on, chances are you will develop diabetes. Looking at that blood glucose level, it's getting higher, but it's not to the point where it would be considered diabetes. If we look at pre-diabetes, 96 million people. So that's 38% of the population of the United States. Now, if we look at Coshocton County, we're at 12%. So that means it would be about 3,300 adults living in Coshocton County. So it's higher than the national average.
Not a lot, though.
But not a lot.
Okay.
It's not that far off. And then as far as Ohio, it's basically right at that national average as well. So we're just a little bit higher in Coshocton County than what Ohio would be in the entire nation.
What does diabetes do to you? What does it make you feel like? What risks are involved?
Yeah, so if we look at how people feel, sometimes people will not notice anything. You mentioned gradual earlier, right? And so it may be that things have happened so gradually that they don't really notice that they're maybe more tired, or that they are experiencing, sometimes people will have actual crashes, right? Like where their blood sugar will actually crash. Or if it's really, really high, they'll have extreme headaches and some other kinds of signs and symptoms like that. When we talked about type 1 and type 2, especially with type 1, people talk about being really thirsty. And so that can also be a sign or symptom that happens with type 2. So there's lots of different things that people may be experiencing that way. One of the important ways to keep up and keep track is to have a regular checkup with your doctor. So if you're going in for a regular wellness visit once a year where they can test your blood and then give you the results of that and talk through what those numbers are like, there's a few numbers that are really important when we look at that. And one of those is called A1C. Now, some people may have done a fasting test before when they've had blood work. And so with that, you'll get your blood glucose number. And in that case, it's kind of like a snapshot in time when we look at what your blood glucose level is like at that moment. A1C is kind of like a long kind of history. It gives us a picture of what our blood glucose level has been over the past 3 months. So in that case, the way that it works is that we, with our red blood cells, these glucose molecules, these little sugar molecules will attach to our red blood cells, and then we can measure that with this A1C number. So if it's high, it means that over the past 3 months, because it takes about 3 months for those cells to die and new ones to regenerate, right? Then we have a pretty good idea of what over the past 3 months, and not just in that last 24 hours, what our blood glucose level has been.
Now, kudos to you, because I have asked that question to even a health professional. How can you tell over the last 3 months? That's the best explanation I've ever heard.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I've heard that from a registered dietitian along the way somewhere.
All right. Any other statistics or anything that you'd like to touch on or anything else before we dive into nutrition?
Well, I guess maybe just to expand a little bit more on that A1C. So 7 is kind of a popular number that will come about. As we look at someone who has diabetes, as they're trying to manage their diabetes well, doctors will often try to get that number below 7. You don't want to get it too low either. And so there'll be different things that your doctor and your whole medical team, right, will recommend. And so that's important. It's important to have your pharmacist on board to, if you can meet with a registered dietitian to have a meal plan put together, you'll want to work with your eye doctor. There's just so many people that are really good to have on your medical team when you're talking about managing your diabetes well. But one thing that you may, if you end up having your A1C higher than 7, then that's when the doctor will say, you now have diabetes. But if it's anywhere between 5.7 and 6.4, then that indicates pre-diabetes. Actually, 6.5 on some tests could indicate that you're at the level of having diabetes. Below 5.7 is considered normal. So as you have blood work done and you get those things back, if you've ever seen a number that's between 5.7 and 6.4, and your doctor has not mentioned to you that maybe you're at the pre-diabetes stage, that'd be a conversation I'd encourage you to have, to reach out to them and talk with them about what maybe that number looks like. And then some other things just to keep in mind are our blood pressure and cholesterol numbers. Because when someone has diabetes, typically, there's a higher risk of heart attack, of stroke, because it's putting extra stress and pressure on our blood vessels. And so this can result in high blood pressure. So there's things that we can do from a nutrition and diet standpoint that can help with that hand in hand a lot of times with medication, though it doesn't always have to be. But that's a conversation for you to have with your doctor.
Oh, yeah, very good. Well, let's go ahead and take another break here and take care of the rest of our commercials for this hour, and then we'll come back and talk more about the diabetes and nutrition right after these words. For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the Be Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call Be Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
Otsego Carryout in Coshocton is the only stop for whatever you need. Check out their deli, meat and cheese, a freshly made grab-and-go sandwich, and a large selection of Walnut Creek favorites. Check out these new items. Different varieties of fudge, a new selection of name brand bulk candy, pumpkin rolls, new variety of energy drinks, sandwich size trail bologna, and rings, and get your mini Buckeyes for the game. Stop by Otsego Carryout today. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
This is your friend Jeff from the Barnyard. Everyone knows there are lots of places to buy a little barn, storage shed, he shed, she shed, a home office, mini cabin, etc. But your edge is that you know a guy. Stop down at the Barnyard by 16 and 83 South and see your friend Jeff, or check out the Barnyard on Facebook and you can shop from your couch.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
You got to buy a car, sell a car. No longer matters where you are. You go to flyhoopty.com. It's a quick, convenient, easy way to shop for cars with no delay at flyhoopty.com. Yes, it's a one-step, one-stop shopping mall. From your armchair, you can see them all at flyhoopty.com. You can click and find most anything. Cars, trucks, and vans, and SUVs at flyhoopty.com.
At Central Ohio Technical College, nothing holds you back. Wondering about Intel careers or other cutting-edge manufacturing? Want the stability of an in-demand healthcare career with great advancement opportunities? At COTC, our 50-plus degrees and certificates build skills employers need. Don't wait. It's time to press go. Get started today at go.cotc.edu/goahead.
This is your friend Jeff from the Barnyard. Everyone knows there are lots of places to buy a little barn, storage shed, he shed, she shed, a home office, mini cabin, etc. But your edge is that you know a guy. Stop down at the Barnyard by 16 and 83 South and see your friend Jeff, or check out the Barnyard on Facebook and you can shop from your couch.
Mostly cloudy today and mild with high temperatures in the mid-60s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a mainly clear patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the lower 40s. And for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-60s. Currently it is 47 degrees in Coshocton, and we are back once again with Emily Marison, a family and consumer science educator with the Ohio State Extension here in Coshocton County. And Emily, somebody comes home from the doctor and the doctor says you have diabetes, and of course you're going to have that conversation with your doctor, but there's a lot of, I guess, myths out there and things that you're told that you can and can't do. So what's the first step? What mindset do you need to put yourself in when you've been diagnosed?
Yeah, that's one thing we talk about at our Dining with Diabetes classes, which we do typically one time a year. And I'll tell you, our next series will be in the summertime. So kind of be on the lookout for information about that next spring. But we do talk about how it can really affect you personally, right? Emotionally, it's a big thing, but there is hope. And that is one thing that we talk a lot about in our classes, is that there are ways to get this under control and manage it well if you choose to do so. So there, it is not the end of the world. It really isn't. And that it will require some lifestyle changes, right? And there will be some things, and you will have good days and you will have bad days. And that is okay. It's all about the long view of the journey. But there are little changes are really some of the best things that you can do. Now I say little changes, but there may be some things that are perceived as big changes. Like if you were used to drinking a gallon of sweet tea every day or a couple 2 liters of Mountain Dew every day. Okay. Well, then maybe some bigger changes will be in store for you because that is a lot of carbohydrate that your body is consuming at that point. So we talk a lot about portion sizes just little things that you can do along the way. And it usually starts with being aware of what you're actually eating. And for some people, they've never really looked that much at a food label before. So I don't know how it is with you.
I look at them all the time.
Right? So, for some people, they just, they'll get whatever they like and they put it in their cart and that it never really, they just don't look at the label very much that's on a food package. It may be that once you hear this, that you have diabetes or pre-diabetes, take a look at what is actually on that food label. It can really surprise you. And even more than looking at like what is the carbohydrate and the calories and things like that, I would start with what is a serving size of whatever it is that you have.
It seems to be arbitrary on those labels. Sometimes the serving size is the whole package. And other times it's like servings per container, 64.
Right. Yes. And so
you gotta do some math in your
and
head.
So they should, what they should say on there, though, like you're saying, I don't think that's always the case. It should tell you like an actual serving size is 3/4 of a cup for this cereal or the problem is if it's ever in ounces or something like that, because not very many of us have, scales in our kitchen or anything. So it should be in tablespoons or cups or something that we have to actually be able to measure. And that can be a good place to start, is just to actually physically measure out what does a serving look like of this so that we're a little bit more aware of what we're actually eating and consuming, especially as we head into Thanksgiving coming up and a lot of our other holiday gatherings. I mean, it starts at Halloween, right? It starts at Halloween and it goes until January 1st.
Halloween candy, you got your Thanksgiving feast, you got football parties, and you have everybody bringing you cookies and all sorts of goodies all through the month of December.
That's right. And that is, there's so many emotional ties usually just to families, to holiday. If you think about your happiest holiday memories or family memories, how many of those have something to do with food? And usually not broccoli, right?
Yeah.
Like it's somebody's famous pie or sweet rolls or whatever it is. And so there is no way that you can expect to just say, okay, I have diabetes, I'm no longer ever going to consume anything that's sweet ever again. Now there are some people out there who can do that. And they are extremely disciplined. But for the rest of us, it really comes down to portion control and realizing that when we're talking about blood glucose, this doesn't just equal sugar that I consume, but it's thinking about it as carbohydrates that I consume. So when the body ingests, when we eat carbohydrates and our body breaks it down, it's breaking it down into glucose. So even if we're eating breads or pastas or potatoes or things like that, that are not sweet, they're not sugar foods, they're still high in carbohydrates. And so it's being aware of what are we eating and how many carbs are in those foods? So, I've said it a couple times. I'll keep saying it. If you have never met with a registered dietitian before, oftentimes insurance will pay for at least one of those visits a year so that you can have a meal plan developed specifically for you. There's a lot of kind of rules of thumb that are out there of things to watch for, like 45 to 60 grams of carbohydrate per meal is a good rule of thumb. Well, but that's also dependent on you as a person, as an individual. And so it's a very good idea to meet with a registered dietitian so they can set that up for you. And if there are certain triggers, maybe we'll call it, or if there are certain temptations that you have, they have some really good advice on how to meet those head on, maybe some alternate things that you could think about. One of the things that we're very, we concentrate a lot in our class talking about, like, enjoy the food as you eat it. Like, if you have that favorite sweet here at Thanksgiving, whatever it is, one of my very first classes that I taught, there was a woman in the class that said, a sliver, not a slice. And I thought that was a great way to think about it. Like, get a smaller piece, but then enjoy the heck out of it. Like, just, you know, take every bite that you take, just sit there and savor it. Enjoy it. Too often when we eat food, we just kind of mindlessly do it, right? We fill up our plate and we just, the next thing we know, it's gone, because we've either been sitting in front of the TV or we've been scrolling on our phone at the same time, whatever it is. Like, but being really present and totally enjoying our food, you'll find that you may eat less and be satisfied that way. So that's kind of one, I guess, strategy or thing to think about.
Well, what about sweets? When I was, like, first time I heard of diabetes when I was a kid, they called it sugar diabetes.
Yeah,
so sugar,
yeah.
Sugar diabetes, which implies, well, it's sugar that's, sugar really is the issue, but you mentioned the carbohydrates, not only your pumpkin pie, but you've got mashed potatoes and noodles and a lot of other things, that dressing that's going to be on your plate on Thanksgiving. So what's the strategy for Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, aren't you right? Like, if you think about your plate and you envision it, it's pretty much,
I'm getting hungry,
completely carbohydrates, right? Yeah, it's making me hungry too. So one thing that we have a class coming up tomorrow night, and we're full at this point, but we're going to be talking about how you take charge during the holidays and some of the strategies for that. And if you are helping to prepare food in any way, you know, thinking through some ways that you can modify, and there are plenty of websites that have really good ideas about this as well. But, you know, there are a lot of recipes that call for a stick of butter being put into something. Well, sometimes you don't need a stick of butter. Sometimes a tablespoon does just fine, or whatever the case may be. Now, if you're baking, that's a different rule. But when we're cooking things, we have a stuffing recipe that we'll be making tomorrow. And for that, we're going to put a whole apple into it, because it's going to add some great fiber. You know, looking for ways to add fiber adds more bulk, helps to make us more full and feel satisfied as we're eating. And then adding some actual onions and some other vegetables as well. Concentrate on the vegetables. One thing that we talk about is visualizing a plate and almost just like cutting it in half and trying to fill up half of your plate with vegetables. Now, that does not mean mashed potatoes. We mean non-starchy vegetables, if possible. So, you know, there's plenty of really great fall vegetables that you could roast. There's salad, of course, that we could eat. Not everybody's a salad eater, though. But there are a lot of, if you go into the produce section and look around, there are just so many vegetables that are around that we maybe haven't explored yet. So that might be something to think about. And then maybe instead of choosing stuffing and mashed potatoes and the sweet potato casserole, and there's probably another carb in there as well somewhere too, you pick your favorite one out of that. And that's one strategy. Or it's that it is literally a spoonful, like a bite of each one of those. I think I read that the average Thanksgiving meal is close to 4,000 calories.
The turkey gets all the blame for you wanting to take a nap afterwards, right? But you got a whole plate of carbs next to it.
It is totally not the turkey. It is definitely the carbs that are part of it. You know, gravy is another great example of where we can be adding a ton. Yeah, some fat, but a ton of sodium, right? Sodium is another thing that sneaks into a lot of these recipes as well. And so some of that comes from, are you making that yourself? Because you can take your turkey broth, skim the fat off of that, add in a little cornstarch, and you've got a great gravy that way. And you can, you know, add a little bit of salt so that it has some flavor, right? But sprinkling on a little salt is a lot different than if you would look at that can of gravy or jar of gravy that you would get commercially at the grocery store. Oftentimes, the sodium content in that is going to be just so, so high. So there's some pretty easy strategies of when you make something yourself, like actually taste it before you add the salt into it, right? And we can recondition ourselves, especially when it comes to the sodium and the saltiness of foods, because similar to those blood cells that turn over, our taste bud cells also turn over time. And so we can make ourselves, we can like trick our brain. It takes a little while, but we can get ourselves to the point where we don't need foods to be as salty as they are. If we are in the habit of salting food before we even taste it, then that's a sign that it's time to probably change our behavior in that way.
How much does salt factor into the symptoms of diabetes?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it seems to be like, what does salt have to do with anything with carbohydrates or sugar? And that's where that affects our high blood pressure more than anything, because as salt, we were retaining more liquid. It can cause more stress on our blood vessels, which makes our heart have to work faster. Now, this does not affect every single human the same way, right? There are some people that are really not as affected, but in general, with the U.S. population, salt has that effect. And so that's why a lot of the government websites and a lot of the recipes and things that we promote through extension are going to have a lower sodium content. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that those with diabetes also usually will have high blood pressure, and those two things together greatly increase the chance for a heart attack and for stroke.
Do you want to change the subject for just a moment? A reminder, it is 10 o'clock. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio, and you will likely hear the outdoor warning sirens if you are outdoors. That's because it is the first Wednesday of the month of November, and they test them at 10 o'clock a.m. on the first Wednesday of every month. So it is just a test. And we are with Emily Marison, family and consumer science educator, with the Extension Office. Let's get our national, international news now from the Associated Press, and we'll be back with Emily right after that.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Some experts say North Korea set a record with its missile testing today. North Korea fired more than 20 missiles into the sea this morning, rattling South Korea. The AP's Charles de Ledesma.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff say one of the missiles landed just 16 miles away from the rivals' sea border. Seoul quickly responded by launching its own projectiles. The launches came hours after the North threatened to use nuclear weapons to get the US and South Korea to pay the most horrible price in history, it says, in protest at ongoing military drills, but it views as an invasion rehearsal. The White House has maintained the U.S. has no hostile intent towards North Korea, only working with allies to curb the North's nuclear ambitions. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
It appears Ukrainian grain will continue to reach world markets that need it. Russia says it will stick with a wartime agreement after Ukraine promised not to use a Black Sea corridor to attack Russian forces. Is Donald Trump going to run for president again?
Trump's former White House chief of staff, Reince Priebus, says, quote, I'm like 95% he's going to run, end quote. And Priebus says if other big challengers run, Trump will be very difficult for any Republican to defeat. Another campaign would be a remarkable turn for any former president, especially one who's made history by being impeached twice. Trump also remains embroiled in several criminal investigations, including probes of classified documents held at his Mar-a-Lago club in Florida and his efforts to pressure elections officials to overturn the results of the 2020 election. I'm Donna Warder.
CVS Health and Walgreen are announcing agreements in principle to pay about $5 billion each to settle lawsuits nationwide in the opioid crisis. We're also hearing Walmart is in discussions. This is AP News. An arrest in a high-profile shooting in New York. The AP's Julie Walker has this.
An arrest was made in connection with a shooting last month outside the home of Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin, who is running for governor of New York. The Suffolk County DA says 18-year-old Noah Green was arrested with the gun used in the shooting, along with a stolen car seen on video at the drive-by shooting. However, his involvement in it, which police say had nothing to do with Zeldin, is still being investigated. His twin daughters were home at the time. He was not. Two 17-year-old boys were wounded and took cover on Zeldin's property. The Republican candidate for governor says the shooting and other crimes show how out of control New York is, while his opponent, Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul, says he's fear-mongering. Julie Walker, New York.
This morning, gas is $3.76 a gallon, the same as a week ago, but about 3 cents less than a month ago. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 4 minutes after 10 o'clock, 47 degrees in Coshocton. We are back once again with Emily Marison, a family and consumer science educator with the Extension Office. And we may or may not have open phone lines today because we are deep in our discussion about diabetes, and 11% of Americans have been diagnosed with it.
Have been diagnosed.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's more that haven't been diagnosed. Yes. And others that may have pre-diabetes.
Right. So up to 38% of Americans with pre-diabetes.
And we've been talking about adjustments to make, and you've already, well, you've implied that you don't need to never have a piece of pie or candy. You know, Thanksgiving Day, Grandma makes her famous pumpkin pie, and not only is it delicious, but Grandma gets gratification seeing people enjoying your food. You don't want to disappoint Grandma. So what happens if on Thanksgiving Day or any other time, a football party or something, somebody just says, heck with it, I'm going to have fun today, I'm going to eat all I want, and they fall off the wagon for a day? Then what?
Don't beat yourself up, right? Get back on the wagon tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Now, I'm not giving you permission to go crazy, right? I'm not encouraging you, because you will feel terrible. Most likely, you know,
your body will be scolding you.
Your body will tell you this was not a good decision, right? It's one day at a time, right? And so it's a choice you get to make every day of what am I going to do today? And keeping the long term, I'm a huge fan of goals. I really am. We've talked a little bit about weight with this, but not a lot. And oftentimes, actually, I think it was there's a report from the health department that has these statistics about diabetes, and with Coshocton County, I think it was 100% of those that had responded to their survey said that they were overweight or obese as well as having diabetes. Now that does not always happen, but it is very common that those two things will go together. And then the next thing can be like, then you're beating yourself up because I know I need to lose weight. And what do I, you know, it's been hard. Obviously, it has probably been a hard journey before that. So, you know, finding out that you have diabetes, it can feel like just kind of overwhelming of what to do next and where to turn next. A rule of thumb is that if you can lose 5% of your body weight, start there. There is scientific research that says that will make a difference. That can make a difference for your blood pressure, for your cholesterol level, if you are watching your cholesterol as well. And it will help you as you are managing your diabetes. So, that's a great place to, you know, so that when you have a day like that where you maybe just indulge too much, then it's not, I'm going to say it's not a big deal. It is not the end of the world, and it is okay to get back on the wagon the next day and keep on that journey.
And your body will tell you that a little too much there today.
And then it's time to reflect and think, okay, was there a trigger? Was it grandma? Was it that I felt like I needed to please her by eating? It's kind of amazing if we think about what socially, how we're kind of trained when it comes to food. How many of us sat around a table and were told that you need to eat every bite on your plate, mm-hmm. even though you were not the one yourself who put that food on your plate, right? Someone else did that for you. I think we've kind of come, the pendulum has swung a little bit with maybe some younger generations now that it's, where we let kids do a lot of their own choosing and we don't force them to eat as much. There can be some good and bad in both of those things, because then maybe they're not tasting vegetables or other kinds of food that otherwise they maybe should have had the opportunity to try when they were younger. But socially we have these kinds of things that we've been trained with when it comes to food. So, you know, is that a trigger for you that you feel like you have to please other people by eating more? And that's where there's a choice then where you get to maybe have a conversation and say, hey, I love you and I love your food. This is about my health, and therefore I'm going to take this much and I'm going to enjoy every bite of this because you're so good at what you do and so good at what you make. And then there's that reassurance for that person that this is the amount you eat is not equal to the amount you love them. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's some reflection I think that you can do after you've had a day like that. And maybe there's other stresses and triggers and things that are going on. And so are there other outlets besides the food that we crave?
For those that cook for themselves, what about going to the grocery store and being in the right mindset there?
Yeah, that's huge, right? I am a big fan of lists, of having, of meal planning, really, of thinking before you go, what are the kinds of meals that I'm going to have? And I do hear that from folks a lot, like if you're not cooking for a family, you're cooking for one or you're cooking for two. So many times recipes are for larger amounts than that, and or you know, if you're busy working or whatever the case may be, you know, taking the time to actually cook something can be difficult. But going to the grocery store when you are hungry, when you are angry, when you are out of time, it can be a challenge, right? So I'd encourage, if there's another time that you can go when you're just in the mindset to really shop. Of course, you know, we shop whenever we can, but having a list, thinking about what those meals are going to be, and then, you know, and taking a look, like when I make my grocery store shopping list out, I usually organize it by the kind of the sections of the store. So I list, like, what am I going to buy that's in produce? What I call it the aisles, like basically everything that's kind of in the middle of the store. What am I going to buy that's in like the dairy and the meat section, the frozen section? And then I kind of take a look at that, because if you are buying a whole lot of things that are in the aisles, those are the more typically more processed foods. That's where that label reading can really come into play. Obviously, there's not a label like on zucchini, right? So you're not as concerned about that when you're buying fresh produce or things that are in the produce section. But as you're at the grocery store and actually looking, you know, do you have time to kind of do a comparison? Not only looking at price, right? I mean, I am consumer sciences. That's a part of what I'm always thinking about too. But also, you know, what really is in that product that you're buying, and not being tricked by what some of those, I call them like fluffy kind of claims are on a package. When something says healthy, well, there is no definition as far as the government is concerned from labeling of what healthy is. So, What really is in this product? You know, we've been talking about sodium. We've been talking about fat a little bit. Sometimes I'll give you a broth, for example. So sometimes you can look at, it'll say lower sodium. Well, it's lower sodium compared to usually whatever their normal product is. But if you compare that to another brand, you could have even more sodium than what their regular is. So, you know, just taking some time when you're at the grocery store to really look at those labels can also be helpful too. But like I said, I think the best thing to do is to have a plan and have a list before you go in and know what you're going to be making.
a little bit ago, you mentioned that there is an emotional aspect in it, changing our lifestyle and the way we eat. It's even more complex if you live in a household. Maybe just one person has diabetes, and that can result in maybe conflict. Is that the right word?
Yeah. So that can be, it can be tough when, not always, but in a lot of households, one person is kind of in charge of the meals. And I'm making a gross generalization here that with some of our older couples, it typically falls with the wife, but not always. In our classes, we've had plenty of men that are doing the cooking as well. But sometimes it falls with one person. And when it's a person who has diabetes, and they may feel like they're like forcing this other person in their household to have to adjust to eating like they need to, and they may feel guilty about that. Or it may be kind of the other way around, where it's someone else in their home that has diabetes, and so do they go with what this person maybe wants to eat to make them happy? Or do they make food that is maybe lower in carbohydrates, or control the amount that they're making to reduce the portion size because they know it's better in the long run for that person? There can definitely be some conflicts. These are hard conversations to have. One thing that could help with those is to visit a registered dietitian and to talk with them about, because they can help with meal planning, not only saying this is what your target should be for how many carbohydrates per meal, but also they have tons of recipes and they have tons of examples of meals that you could have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, just across the board. And so that can kind of get the conversation started. And like I said, they often will have some strategies too. If there are certain kinds of food that a person really likes or doesn't want to give up, they may have some ideas on some other ways that those could be made.
All right. And recipes. Do you have there's fact sheets on everything at the Extension
right.
office. And I know that there's a lot of resources out there on the Internet as well. You always got to be able to assess the credibility of it. But but what resources in addition to your classes, do you have at the Extension office?
Yeah, so we have a lot of recipes that we make during the Dining with Diabetes classes, and then we give out. Most of those are not available just for the general public, unfortunately. However, I definitely recommend anything that's from the American Diabetes Association. There's some very good cookbooks that are out there from them. And then on our website, which is coshocton.osu.edu, there's a whole section about dining with diabetes, and there are some links to some other recipes that are there. I'll tell you, if anyone is looking for recipes, I'm happy to email or mail those. If you don't do email, we still mail plenty of things to folks. So you're welcome to call me at the office, especially if there's certain kinds of recipes that you're interested in and looking for. And so you're welcome to call the Extension office. The number there is 740-622-2265, or you can email me. You can find all that information on our website.
Managing diabetes, if someone goes to the doctor, they work with their doctor, maybe prescribe medications for it, and establish a certain amount of lifestyle change or discipline, how treatable or how manageable is it?
It's very manageable.
Can most people feel better if they make some changes?
Yes, most definitely. I think you had a very key part there. It's about working with your healthcare team, right, and being open to sharing with them how you're feeling, right, and how things are going for you. Because if there are certain things that are challenging or just not working, make sure that you share that with your doctor. There are several different kinds of medications that are out there now. And I know some people have different opinions, and some people are like, I just don't ever want to take a medication at all, right? And it may be that at the beginning that's a way to get things kind of under control and managed. And then as you really work at your lifestyle changes and are able to maybe lose weight if you need to, then maybe there's a chance that you could get off of that medication. Like I said, I'm not a mm-hmm. nurse. I'm not in the medical field. But I have heard that from some folks. But also there's nothing wrong with taking medication to get this part under, because like we talked about at the beginning, there's something that's happening within the body of someone who has diabetes where the cells are just not responding the same way that they did before. And so sometimes that will be able, you can get that under control with diet and with exercise. So we haven't talked about physical activity much yet. But that's another key part. Or it could be that really medication is going to be a part of that. And can we talk about physical activity real quick?
Absolutely, yes.
So this I find fascinating, that when we exercise, so during muscle contraction, we actually are taking in glucose because the body needs energy to do that. And that's what glucose is, the sugars to give us energy. We don't really need the insulin the same way that we do just for kind of everyday living the rest of the time that we're not exercising. So that's one way to utilize and get rid of this blood sugar, this glucose that's in our bloodstream. And that can be from walking every day. It could be, you know, more vigorous activity as well, but even walking for 30 minutes every day, like, you know, moderate walking where you're getting your heart rate up, that can have a huge impact on utilizing and getting rid of some of the built up glucose, to the point where for those with type 1 diabetes who are taking insulin because their body, again, produces no insulin whatsoever, they have to be careful when they do physical activity because it can affect how that insulin is used and the levels of their blood sugar. So they are very well aware of the effects of physical activity and that it can actually even like lower their
those with type 1 have to worry about too low blood sugar.
Right, yeah. Right, because it can actually take so much, use so much of that glucose but they are very aware. That's usually a conversation they've had a lot of times with their doctor. Those with type 2, it's something to be aware of, but not to be scared of the same kind of situation necessarily happening as much as what it would happen with someone who has type 1. Diabetes.
Our guest is Emily Marison, and she is a family and consumer science educator with OSU Extension. It is 21 minutes after 10. We'll take a break and be back with Emily one more time right after these words.
We make decisions every day. How to spend your weekend. What to wear. But some decisions are bigger than others. Don't let others make decisions for you. Vote. Polls will be open on November 8th, and early in-person and absentee voting is available right now. No matter what you choose, you can be confident your vote is secure and your voice will be heard. Big or small, your decisions matter. Visit VoteOhio.gov for voting locations and hours. Sponsored by Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Aired by the OAB in this station.
Looking for a good read or a gift? Check out the new book, Frontier History of Coshocton. The book describes the Coshocton's entire glorious history from the end of the last ice age until the end of the War of 1812 in 600 full-size pages with a quality sewn hardcover. Buy it now for $39.99 at the Johnson Hummerkaus Museum and Amazon.com. Sale proceeds are donated to the museum.
Shaq-a-roni is back at Papa John's Pizza. Get an extra large 16-inch pepperoni pizza loaded to the edge for just $13.99. And for every Shaq-a-roni pizza sold, $1 goes to our local fatherhood initiative. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
WTNS is looking for part-time and full-time people for news and stringer opportunities. If you have some time on your hands and would like to stay connected to the community by attending some meetings and reporting about them, give us a call. It's a small business atmosphere with flexible hours. Call 622-1560 or email your interest to WTNS993@yahoo.com.
Crowd gets the snap out of the gun, back to pass, looks and floats that one on the left side, wide open, Henderson. And Henderson takes it into the end zone, Travion Henderson, with a touchdown on a 26-yard pass play from C.J. Stroud.
This is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Saturday, Ohio State heads to Evanston to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll be on the air with the AEP Energy Buckeye pregame show beginning at 10:30 a.m. here on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
This is Christine Sykes, your county auditor. I am aware that some of you may have been told that the county auditor is able to adjust market values based on personal experience. The truth is, Ohio law governs everything I do in the office, including real estate taxes. No matter what you've heard, the tax formula is the same statewide. Fair market value times tax levies less any allowable reductions, such as homestead, agricultural use, owner-occupied, or forestry tax. Values are set based on recent area property sales, reviewed and approved by the Ohio Department of Taxation, and an appeal process is in place to address properties outside the norm. Levies are approved by voters and monitored by the County Budget Commission, and tax reduction qualifiers are all in Ohio law. No one person, county auditor or otherwise, can legally adjust taxes outside what is set in the Ohio Revised Code. A county auditor is supposed to treat everyone the same under Ohio law, and taxes need to be applied fairly and equitably so the tax burden is equally shared. Go to reelectsykes.com for more information. Don't fall for empty promises. A vote for me is a vote for experience, integrity, and service. Christine Sykes for County Auditor, the smart choice.
Paid for by Christine Sykes for County Auditor, Nate McNeil, Treasurer.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
Come on down to the Roscoe Barbecue Company, located in historic Roscoe Village next to the Visitor Center. Roscoe Barbecue Company smokes their meat daily and has perfected the spice of the smoke to ensure your meat is always fresh to order and offers great, mouth-watering taste. The Roscoe Barbecue Company offers slow-smoked and dry-rubbed brisket, sliced turkey, pulled pork, smoked sausage, ribs, and smoked chicken legs. The Roscoe Barbecue Company is open Wednesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Mostly cloudy and mild today with high temperatures in the mid-60s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the lower 40s. And for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-60s. Currently it is 47 degrees in Coshocton that we are back up. Once again, we're going to try to get some open phone lines in here today. So I don't think we had any yesterday or not for long, but we're back one more time talking about diabetes and managing diabetes, particularly from a nutritional standpoint. And what about alcohol? You know, we talked about the holidays and all the great food. Oftentimes, for some people anyway, the alcohol is a part of it. Not only at the holidays, but football parties.
Right.
And maybe they just have a beer or two in the evening to wind down.
Yeah.
Where does that fit in?
Yeah. So. From a caloric standpoint, so just looking at the calories that come in, as far as any kind of nutritional recommendations for a man up to two beers, I'm using my memory for this, and same thing with wine, it can be two. But for a woman, it's just one. And it really has to do with a difference in metabolism. So it's not just like based on weight or anything that way, but it is actually a difference between, from a physiological standpoint, for men and for women. I'd say one of the things to really be aware of is when it comes to more of like the mixed drinks kinds of things, because that's where lots of calories come in oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Not just in the alcohol.
Not just the alcohol, right?
Sugar and the other
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, the extra syrupy kind of things that are added into that. So, if you don't drink alcohol, there's no reason to start. There's no, oftentimes there'll be the research shows that there's some heart benefits, especially like for red wine. But there's no real strong evidence to say if you don't drink now, you should start drinking in order to have heart health by drinking wine.
And it should go without saying that drinking alcohol regularly in excess leads to a lot of different health problems.
Most definitely. So when it comes to diabetes, though, as far as any I'm not aware of any particular dangers, as long as you're following those recommendations for the healthy limits that you should be observing.
Now, finally, we talked about recipes. How about modifying recipes, things that we like to make? Maybe we've made for years and we want to make just a little bit healthier, particularly for those with diabetes.
Yeah, so one thing that we'll talk about tomorrow night is we have a pumpkin pie recipe and the crust. Like, sometimes we don't really think about how much is in that crust, but there's a lot of calories that are in pastry like that. So making like a modified either, like a ginger snap kind of a crust and not putting as much on it, or, even if you are then eating it, not eating as much crust, actually, kind of maybe seems a little backwards because you'd think about the carbohydrate content of your fruit pie or things like that. But avoiding some of those calories from the crust can actually help a lot. When we're thinking about sodium, one thing that we talk about in our classes is instead of using just regular salt, like the whole sea salt thing, it's still salt, right? It's still salt, no matter whether it's from a Himalayan glacier or whatever it is.
Thank you. I've always thought that. Now, how much difference could there be? It's sodium chloride with maybe a little different, ground up a little different.
Right, and there may be a few other minerals that are coming in there, but for the amount that we're using, yeah, it's still salt. But there's a lot of alternate kind of substitutions. Mrs. Dash is one brand, but I'm certainly not, endorsing that brand. It's just that they have a lot of different choices. And so those are like herb mixtures, using fresh herbs. Of course, this time of year, we're maybe a little bit more limited on what we have, but spices and herbs can make a huge difference in flavor, because most of the time, that's really what we're doing when we add salt, is we're enhancing the flavor that's there. So if we can add other things to add more flavor, then we usually don't need to use salt, and it will, in turn, decrease what the sodium is. Another thing that comes up sometimes in baking is about sugar, because of all the Splenda products that are out there for baking. There's so many things now, right, with stevia, and there's monk fruit. And if you go in the sweetener aisle right now at the grocery store, it can be a little overwhelming. So just keep in mind from a baking standpoint that sugar does a lot more than just sweeten. Sugar has, it's got chemical properties to it, like it helps food to brown, it gives that bulking, it absorbs water, and so when it comes to baking, sometimes you can't just substitute any old non-nutritive sweetener for sugar, and a product like a Splenda that's made especially for baking can be helpful. Now, when you're doing other kinds of cooking, you're making sauces or other things like that, then there's a lot more flexibility. Some people are like, I don't want artificial sweeteners at all. Other people, if you use them in moderation, again, the research says that there's no ill effects from that. So when it comes to thinking about reducing the actual sugar content of something, sometimes you can just actually reduce it. Like if you're baking, you can cut it down from a cup to 3/4 of a cup. There may be a little bit of a difference in how the texture is to that final product. Some of that's just kind of experimentation for you.
And butter is something that can be adjusted a lot, but how much of a problem is butter for diabetics?
So it kind of comes back to that whole part about high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So butter is high in saturated fat, and saturated fat can increase our LDL, which is the kind of bad cholesterol that we have. That sticks inside of our arteries, and that can make the blood harder to pump through, makes our heart pump harder. And then that, in turn, together with diabetes, can increase risk of heart attack, increase risk of stroke. So butter is one of those things that I think is great to use when you can actually taste it, like when it's going to make a difference. If it's not, then trying to utilize olive oil or canola oil, especially when like sauteing vegetables, things like that. And save the butter for like putting on that tiny little piece of a roll or whatever it is so that you can actually like taste the butter.
You ever tried Vegemite on a piece of toast?
No.
Vegemite?
I have not.
It's an acquired taste.
I might have to check that out.
All right. Well, Emily, I want to thank you for being here with us today. Very interesting stuff. You've got a class. You mentioned it's full, but that's something that you do on a regular basis. When will be the next one?
So in July, we will have our next Dining with Diabetes series. We do a four-night class, and we do that together with Coshocton Regional Medical Center. We make recipes, so we have a meal every night, and we talk about how to manage diabetes well. So next spring, look for information. We'll be sure to advertise here on WTNS, and it'll be in the papers and Facebook and all that good stuff.
How far ahead of time do they usually fill up?
Usually, if we're talking July, we'll have sign-ups in May, and I'd say, yeah, start signing up before June.
And again, the advice, if you do have diabetes or suspect you do, talk to your doctor, get tested, check it out, and take that course of action. Beyond that, Emily, what other resources would you recommend?
So I'm a big fan of contacting a registered dietitian if you have been diagnosed with diabetes. They are just so helpful in the everyday part of life on how you can make some really positive changes to manage diabetes well.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Emily Marison, a family and consumer science educator from OSU Extension, talking about diabetes. Always a pleasure. It is 10:35. We have open phone lines from here on out, 740-622-1560. If you do want to talk about health or nutrition or diabetes, I'll do my best. If you want to talk sports, I'm always up for that. If you want to talk about the election, we can chat about that if you would like, or if there's something else that's on your mind, just the weather or whatever, the phone lines are open. We'll be back right after this.
Care provides health care without the wait. Their locations offer extended hours and are fully equipped with x-ray and lab services. You do not have to be an MVHC patient to utilize their urgent care services. Visit one of their convenient locations in Coshocton for all of your urgent health care needs.
At Central Ohio Technical College, nothing holds you back. Wondering about Intel careers? Or other cutting-edge manufacturing? Want the stability of an in-demand healthcare career with great advancement opportunities? At COTC, our 50-plus degrees and certificates build skills employers need. Don't wait. It's time to press go. Get started today at go.cotc.edu/goahead.
Lafayette Point in West Lafayette offers 24/7 skilled nursing care, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, memory care, and much more to help you reach your maximum potential. They accept most insurances. For more information, call the admissions coordinator at 740-545-6355.
Mostly cloudy today, mild with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear, patchy fog after midnight with overnight lows in the lower 40s. For tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-60s. Currently, it is 47 degrees in Coshocton. Well, we had a call, and they went away. So we'll be back right after these words.
Hi, this is Grant Daugherty, conservative Republican candidate for Coshocton County Auditor. Folks, my opponent has accused me of making promises to lower your property taxes, and I want to set the record straight. What I have said all along is that I'll fight for fair property values for the residents of Coshocton County. A fair property value benefits everyone in the community. The truth is that property values determine the property taxes you pay. For fair property values that benefit us all, vote Grant Daugherty for your next Coshocton County Auditor on November 8th.
Paid for by Daugherty for Auditor Campaign, D. King Daugherty, Treasurer.
Hello, this is Danelle Skelton, and I am a parent of two Coshocton High School students. I would like to ask for your continued support on November 8th for the renewal of our 1.12 mil permanent improvement levy. This continuing levy is a renewal, not a new tax, and raises $121,595 annually to help maintain and care for existing facilities and grounds, and provides funding for repairs, technology items, and transportation equipment. These funds are not for operating expenses. I urge you you to vote yes and continue to help us to keep education a priority. Paid for by the Coshocton City Schools Levy Committee, Danelle Skelton, Treasurer.
MVHC Urgent Care provides health care without the wait. Their locations offer extended hours and are fully equipped with X-ray and lab services. You do not have to be an MVHC patient to utilize their urgent care services. Visit one of their convenient locations in Coshocton for all of your urgent health care needs.
Coming soon, Ohio has a new kind of crime fighter. What's that? A corrupt public official has stolen millions in taxpayer money? Have no fear. Keith Faber is here.
All right, cut it out. I told you I'd give this a try, but that sounded dumb. I'll pick the music. This is Keith Faber, and I'm no superhero. I'm your auditor of state. Yes, it's true that I've worked hard to convict more than 90 corrupt public officials. That's my job. My gadget of choice? A spreadsheet. And the Faber-mobile? A Dodge Ram truck.
This is Officer Weeks from the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio. Not all heroes wear capes. Police are proud to support Keith Faber, not because he's a superhero, but because he's a super auditor. Keith Faber helped uncover more than $5 billion in unemployment fraud and overpayments.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's...
Knock it off.
It's Fraternal Order of Police endorsed Keith Faber for Auditor of State.
Paid for by Friends of Faber.
At Central Ohio Technical College, nothing holds you back. Wondering about Intel careers or other cutting-edge manufacturing? Want the stability of an in-demand healthcare career with great advancement opportunities? At COTC, our 50-plus degrees and certificates build skills employers need. Don't wait. It's time to press go. Get started today at go.cotc.edu/goahead.
The voters of Coshocton County can elect a true conservative to the auditor's office on November 8th. That person is Republican candidate Grant Daugherty. Grant is the true and only conservative on the ballot this November for Coshocton County auditor. In office, Grant will focus on customer service and accountability, making the auditor's office easy to work with and a watchdog for our tax dollars. Remember, on November 8th, vote for the true conservative, Grant Daugherty, for Coshocton County Auditor.
Paid for by Daugherty for Auditor Campaign. D. King Daugherty, Treasurer.
It's 20 minutes until 11 o'clock, and, well, we don't really have time to get too hot and heavy into anything, but the phone lines are open, so give me a call and let me know what's on your mind today. Phone lines are open until 11 o'clock for the next 20 minutes. In the world of sports, we've got, World Series is underway. And last night, which pitcher was it? Lance McCullers Jr. set a record, made the wall of shame. He became the first pitcher to allow 5 home runs in a World Series game. And the World Series has been around a long time. So, gave up 4 home runs, still in the game, gave up a 5th. Phillies won 7-0 over the Houston Astros. The Phillies lead the series 2-1. I did not watch. I'm just kind of lukewarm on the World Series this year. Really, whenever the Guardians aren't in it, I think some of the luster has been lost in baseball. You know, America's game. Baseball was born in America. There is some dispute over whether it was Abner Doubleday or not, but certainly it was born in America, been around for a long time. When did the Reds, the first team, was it 18-something or other? 1860-something, maybe. First time in a World Series, a pitcher has given up 5 home runs in the World Series. So, your thoughts on that? The Cleveland Guardians had a fun season. Don't want to call it a great season. Well, they didn't go to the American League Championship Series or the World Series. That would be a great season. But they exceeded my expectations and that of a lot of others as well. I still think Terry Francona deserves that Manager of the Year award, but it probably won't happen. So your thoughts on baseball and its role now that the NFL and college football, maybe even the the NBA. I don't have any numbers in front of me, but all of those exceed or at least rival the popularity of baseball. So we can talk about that if you would like. But baseball's still popular. I like the Guardians. Baseball tends to appeal to an older demographic. And younger folks tend to gravitate to more towards basketball. That's a general statement. There are old people that love the NBA and young people that like baseball as well. So your thoughts? Phone lines are open. In the battle over Ray's fingers, Houston Astros pitcher Justin Verlander, he's a story this year, still going strong. The battle over raised fingers, Justin Verlander has drawn even. He got a lot of attention Monday when a video clip showed him flipping off a group of Philadelphia Phillies fans. While that got a lot of coverage, Verlander says it was all in fun. He proved that yesterday when he approached some Phillies fans at some spot and signed autographs. The fans seemed to be in a forgiving mood. This was in Philadelphia, no less. One shouted, "You're the best!" while a woman in a Phil shirt joked with Verlander as he autographed her baseball. After that, they posed for a photo with both flashing their middle fingers at the camera. They then flipped the script, showing a more friendly-looking thumbs up in the second shot. So the middle finger apparently has become mainstream. And your thoughts on that? That's a topic in itself. We've come a long way from when Lucy and Ricky, was it Lucy and Ricky, or was it the Dick Van Dyke Show where they slept in separate beds? And now we have the people having fun with the middle finger. 20 years ago, that would have been more of a scandal, or I think so anyway. And so we have curse words that are used regularly in TV shows. We got political ads with cuss words in them now. So give me a call. We can chat about that if you would like. The phone lines are open only until 11 o'clock this morning. So if you got something to say, need to hear from you right now. And this word from the county engineer's office, County Road 23 in Bethlehem Township, will be closed today until 3 o'clock this afternoon. They are taking down some trees, so they expect to reopen County Road 23 at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Longer road closure, Township Road 221 in Mill Creek Township will be closed until November the 29th as the target date, and that is for bridge replacement. Township Road 221 will be closed from Mill Creek Township Road 21 to State Route 83, and that is for bridge replacement. 10:46 is the time, and we will be back here right after these words.
Everybody loves a discount, and Grange Insurance offers dozens of them. Good student discounts, defensive driver discounts, home ownership discounts, multi-vehicle discounts, life insurance multi-policy.
Let the Jacobs Vanaman Agency, your Grange independent agent, walk you through all the Grange discounts you may be eligible for. The Jacobs Vanaman Agency can help you save a lot of money while you enjoy the worry-free experience of coverage with Grange. Call the Jacobs Vanaman Agency at 622-1796.
Products not available in all states.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Park it on yes and vote for Coshocton City Park District Renewal Levy. This renewal is not a new tax and represents a renewal of the 10-year .5 mil levy. These funds help provide your local city and county parks with the ability to provide simple things like restroom supplies and mowing to permanent improvements like new roofs on shelters, planting trees, security cameras, lighting, and even swimming pool updates. This is Sherry Kirkpatrick with Friends of the Parks, and I'm asking you to join me and park it on Yes on Tuesday, November 8th, to support our parks now and into the future.
Paid for by the Park District Levy Renewal Committee, Fred Wachtel, Treasurer.
Only Best Heating and Air can give you authentic Lennox quality and service for your home's heating and cooling needs. They're the people you know and trust right in our community. With regular maintenance from Best Heating and Air, you can keep your air perfect year-round and keep your home's heating and cooling system running at peak performance. Think Best Heating and Air to keep your system running perfectly season after season. Call Best Heating and Air at 740-545-9400 or visit them at bestheatingandac.com to schedule an appointment today. Dealer license number 30482.
Teens in grades 7 to 12 are invited to the Coshocton Public Library for Plugged and Unplugged every Wednesday after school from 2:30 to 5. Laptops, video games, board games, art supplies, and snacks and pop will be provided. Registration is not required. For more information, please visit coshoctonlibrary.org or call 740-622-0956.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Crowd gets the snap out of the gun, back to pass, looks and floats that one on the left side, wide open, Henderson, and Henderson takes it into the end zone, Travion Henderson, with a touchdown on a 26-yard pass play from C.J. Stroud.
This is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Saturday, Ohio State heads to Evanston to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll be on the air with the AEP Energy Buckeye pregame show beginning at 10:30 a.m. here on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
WTNS is looking for part-time and full-time people for news and stringer opportunities. If you have some time on your hands and would like to stay connected to the community by attending some meetings and reporting about them, give us a call. It's a small business atmosphere with flexible hours. Call 622-1560 or email your interest to WTNS993@yahoo.com.
Now that's a sound you can live with. Home fires injure and kill thousands each year. You can help prevent needless fire deaths and injuries by remembering to change and test the batteries in your smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors when you change your clocks for daylight saving time. Be sure to remind your friends, family, and neighbors to do the same. A life-saving reminder from the Coshocton Fire Department and WTNS Radio.
Are you looking for a less expensive and more personalized alternative to a nursing home for your loved one? Consider Juanita Potts Family Home. We offer many of the same services in a much smaller and more home-like setting. Call Derek Potts at 740-294-3072 for a private tour.
Mostly cloudy today, mild with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, mainly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear, patchy fog after midnight, lows in the lower 40s, and tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny, warm, with highs in the mid-60s. Currently in Coshocton, it is 47 degrees, and let's take a phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Mike.
Good morning.
I just called to make a comment about the extension woman that was on there about diabetes.
Okay.
And people overeating and being overweight. These are things that people used to learn in school years ago. Basically, kids made fun of you if you were fat. Now, money's being spent on critical race theory, things like that that don't really mean anything. You're not going to change it that much. And people sit around and feel sorry for somebody because they're different than they are. They spend too much time on crap like that instead of worrying about what they're eating and their own health. When you think about it, diabetes is probably going to be a national health problem. Because it has critical things down the road. When you get older, it's only going to get worse.
It is a national health problem if 11% of Americans have it.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't seem like anything's done about that. Evidently, children aren't getting the knowledge that they need at home. They need to get it in school because evidently that's not important anymore to parents. Of course, you look at some of the parents, I can see why they're not. Really, the blind can't lead the blind. And that's just what you have. I know when I was a kid, They used to put stuff on your plate and tell you to eat it, and then I ate it. But later on, when I got to be a teenager, my parents would say, well, you can't eat that much. You got to stay in good condition. You may have to go fight for your country. Well, we know that's kind of gone. Now it's like, you could go over and sit on them or something. Most of the kids now can't even pass the physical thing. We used to have a thing called the President's Council on Youth Fitness years ago when President Kennedy was in, and you had to basically, if you wanted to get a certificate, you had to do so many push-ups, so many pull-ups, and run a certain distance in a certain time. And that was in school, a gym class, and people used to do it. Now, most of these kids couldn't pull themselves off the floor. Of course, it is kind of hard, you know, if you're that heavy, that you can't do a chin-up. Thank you.
All right, 10:53 is the time, and we have a few minutes left. Is that going to be a last call of the day? Give me a call. We'll be back right after these words.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Stephen! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
4 minutes till the top of the hour. Let's take a look at this date in history. Although if you do call right now, I'll stop and take a call. This is Wednesday, November the 2nd, the 306th day of 2022. There are 59 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history, on November the 2nd, 1783, General George Washington issued his farewell address to the Army near Princeton, New Jersey. On this date in 1861, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln relieved Major General John C. Fremont of his command of the Army Department of the West, based in St. Louis, following Fremont's unauthorized efforts to emancipate slaves in Missouri. In 1917, British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour issued a declaration expressing support for a national home for the Jews in Palestine. In 1920, white mobs rampaged through the Florida citrus town of Ocoee, setting fire to black-owned homes and businesses after a black man, Mose Norman, showed up at the polls to vote on Election Day. Some historians estimate as many as 60 people were killed. In 1950, playwright George Bernard Shaw, 94, died in Ayot, St. Lawrence, Hertfordshire, England. In 1976, former Governor Jimmy Carter became the first candidate from the Deep South since the Civil War to be elected president, as he defeated incumbent Gerald R. Ford. In 1994, a jury in Pensacola, Florida, convicted Paul Hill of murder for the shotgun slayings of an abortion provider and his escort. Hill was executed in September of 2003. In 2003, in Iraq, insurgents shot down a Chinook helicopter carrying dozens of U.S. soldiers, killing 16. In 2004, President George W. Bush was elected to a second term as Republicans strengthened their grip on Congress. In 2007, British college student Meredith Kircher, 21, was found slain in her bedroom in Perugia, Italy. Her roommate, American Amanda Knox, and Knox's Italian boyfriend, Rafael Silicito, were convicted of killing Kircher, but both were later exonerated. 5 years ago today, President Donald Trump tapped Jerome Powell to replace Janet Yellen as Federal Reserve Chair at the end of her term in February. Authorities in Los Angeles and New York said they had opened new investigations prompted by sexual misconduct allegations against Harvey Weinstein. Twitter reported that a customer support worker who was on his or her last day on the job had deactivated President Donald Trump's Twitter account for a few minutes, resulting in an error message that the user, quote, does not exist. And a few birthdays to wrap up with today. Actor Stephanie Powers turns 80 today. Country rock singer-songwriter J.D. Souther is 77. Singer-songwriter Katie Lang is 61 years old today. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is 55. Actor-singer Kendall Schmidt is 32 today. That will wrap up our Communication Lines program. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. And I want to thank all of our guests for joining us today. Our Student of the Week, Josie Richard, and also Mr. Branch from Riverview High School, and, of course, Emily Marison, family and consumer science educator from OSU Extension. Let's check our weather forecast. For today, mostly cloudy and mild with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mainly clear. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the lower 40s. And for tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-60s. Currently it is 53 in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's 11 o'clock.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.